Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome to all the note takers and the real people in person. How am I finding you this fine day? Not good. To what do I owe the head shake, Jeff?
I made a tough decision over the weekend, or I guess at the very end of last week, that I think like I need to just start my own RIA. So now I'm like in the middle of a software launch and like the new rebrand. Now like the whole underlying foundation needs to get torn up and rebuilt also in true Jeff fashion. So, yep.
Okay. Well, we can, if you want to get coached around that, we can tag that. And have any surfaced pressing issues from the tribe. So my invitation for each of you is to go into the chat. And first of all, post a win. Maybe a high and a low, or a win and a feel a little stuck, something like that. Give you a couple of moments for that. And then when you are there, and if you want to give your status update, one is all good, feeling good, rocking and rolling. Two is I have stuff to process. And if there's time, I'd like to have it processed here. And then three is I definitely need some help. Like I'm feeling kind of stuck. So. Congrats, Tim. Hired a marketing consultant. Hired a web designer. Awesome. Jeremy felt comfortable. Well, excited to be honest. Turning away a prospect below your minimum. Woohoo! High five, virtual high five. That's awesome. Had an awesome week in Miami at Edge and made a tough decision. Yeah, those points of clarity. What is it that Stephanie says? It's simple, it's not always easy. That sounds like you had one of those points of clarity. All right. And then as you put your status in there, of the one, two, or three, again, for those joining, one is all good, doing great, rocking and rolling. Two is I have stuff to process if there's time. And three is I'm feeling a little stuck. And when you put your number in, especially for those twos and threes, but also for the one, if you can say why, that's helpful. Just as I think about who we can talk to today and help support. You're winding down month five of your 12-month engagement with Limitless, which is awesome. Hopefully you've seen a lot of good momentum, and there's still a lot of the year remaining for you to see some rapid development. And so in this call, I just encourage you to keep asking for what you need, get supported, get a mindset shift. Mired in the day-to-day work of getting set up with the RIA, but making progress. Is anybody else setting up an RIA or in that kind of same zone and wanting some support? Janice, was that, I assume that was answering my question. So how about this? For those who are maybe in the middle of the setting up the RIA process and want to get supported, I'll have the several of you come on and we'll talk through it, including Jeremy, including Janice, perhaps even Tim. And we'll pin it and have a little group coaching session. Sound good? Cool. So then, Leona, if you could pin for me, Tim Pope, Jeremy Portnoff, and Janice Fire. Did I say all three? Were there four or three? There's just three.
Yeah.
If you want in on this one, you can. Okay.
Do it.
Yeah, you want in on that? Okay. So then there's pin all of us, and I'll admit those people. Okay, we'll just wait a moment here to get the view going. And my note page.
Liz, can you say Tim who again?
Timothy Pope, Anis Fire. I'm probably mispronouncing that, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's pronounced fear. But,
fear, yeah. All right. And Jeremy Portna. And okay. Jeff, then Birdstein.
Gotcha, okay.
All right. I'll just start in, and Jeremy, let's start with you since you established this as a topic for the day. Where are you feeling stuck and mired?
So just the day-to-day work that has to be done to set everything up so that I can basically get just operational again, meaning like normal client meetings, normal reviews, that kind of stuff. It just takes up so much time. And I also acknowledge some mistakes that I've made. Like deciding to switch financial planning programs, I probably should have waited to do that, but I did it, right? There were multiple systems that I decided to change. And so I figured, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, rip off the Band-Aid, do it all at one time. Because, you know, on the other side, it's you wait around forever to make changes sometimes and you never make them. So I figured, you know what, I'll just do it, get it done. And in this transition, build the things out the way that I want them to, with the eye on efficiency, with the eye on, you know, where I'm going. So, you know, just as an example, like the scheduling, you know, I don't really fully know and understand how a surge works. I have a rough idea.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to know that that's probably something I should be working towards. So I switched the booking system to one that's going to work better, that's going to be more efficient, but it took a lot of time to get it set up the way that I'm going to want it to, so that it works when I do eventually get to doing surge. So it's just things like that. You know, on the personal side, just been a lot of challenging things going on, medically with my family, my mom, my wife, both having issues, you know, so that often takes about a lot of time away mm-hmm. from, you know, what could be a work day or whatnot. So.
Okay. All right. And Tim, you want to share for you?
Yeah, so I put in one. I am something about 11 months out to doing to launching the RAA. And so here recently, in Q1, I did a lot of the research with compliance consultants and custodians and so on. And so a lot of that was, you know, understanding how they work and pricing. And so, you know, it's nice. I could put it on the spreadsheet and say, okay, you know, these dollars are going to be owed then. And then I get to a point where I was like, all right, well, the next decisions are logo creation, branding, and marketing consultant, website, and all of those things. And so there was a little bit of, I guess, hesitation, you know, because this next phase was these decisions are, hey, you go ahead and make them, and then you start to push that ball and get that rolling. So this past week, I went ahead and hired the website person and the branding consultant or the marketing consultant as well. So that felt pretty good to do. So not a ton of not a ton of friction, but I'm really very interested to hear from Jeremy and the others who sound like they might be in the middle of the RAA transition.
Mm-hmm. Janice, how about you?
Well, I've submitted all of my documents to my state, and they've approved everything other than I haven't submitted the final U4. Where I'm really struggling, obviously, is similar to everyone, is managing everything. But what's happened in my current firm that I'm still working at is he's one of the reasons I made the decision to leave is because I want to do a niche that's completely different than his, right? And I felt the only way I could do that is to start my own RIA. And additionally, is we have a different philosophy on services and pricing. And so he's gone through some personal issues in the last year where he's needed some extra support for me. And I've helping him, and I've had a heart-to-heart with them that I want to leave. I want to start my own RIA. And here's the, you know, I want to service people and that are dedicated to animal husbandry, so veterinarians or equine practitioners. He's very supportive of it. And he wants the best for me, which is lovely, but he just proposed to me whether I could do it within his firm as doing business as, so like a maybe an RIA under an RIA, I guess, and I'm unfamiliar how that would look. I'm also not really sure I want to do that. And so I just feel really, I just would love people's input on that. And again, you know, it kind of boils down to, you know, my kind of fee structure, and that it's likely going to be different than his. And so I just want to be able to articulate it in a way that's very respectful. One, I want to know a little bit more about how it might look like if I did a DBA under him, or if so that I, you know, understand the ins and outs of all of that.
Again. Okay, Jeff, you're up.
So I had some, I went to Edge, which is a conference, if no, you guys don't know it, that I have no business being at, but for some reason they think I'm funny, so they invite me. It's like multi-billion dollar RIAs, right? And I have some good friends from that community. Got to see Kitsis and, you know, everybody, Samantha, like all of Stephanie's buddies, right? And I think, like, I just realized a lot of those RIA people, like, they all get along, and they, like, I don't know, like, it's more collaborative than the world I'm in with LPL, where everything's a fight. And, you know, I don't know if you guys know, like, a lot of them have been on here, but like Penny talks to Andre, and Andre talks to Samantha, and then, you know, FICOM is like, it's just so collaborative, right? And it's fun to watch. And I think I've been trying to figure out, LPL has bought out our OSJ, our RIA. And no one is in our group is going to stay there. And we don't really have like a legitimate timeline. No one will tell us. They're just hoping we just kind of get sucked in. But it's probably about a year. That means they don't really want to let me do any of the limitless work that we're doing. So none of the niche focus. We got the website up and approved finally, but it was a nightmare. You know, none of the additional services, the marketing's a nightmare. And so I just realized, like, I really don't need to do that for the next year while we're trying to get it launched. And then when I saw everybody being so collaborative and like the lack of competition, I started to think, one, maybe I'm the problem. Like, I'm trying to be that client that is not the correct client for the niche of the RIAs that I really like and I respect and would like to join. And that I needed to just find my right advisor or do it myself, right? And then my OSJ called and basically said, we don't want to do any work for you during the transition. We would really like you to stop doing things. Please stop sending us stuff to compliance. We're just trying to sell our book to LPL. If you could maybe leave by the end of July. So I think it was a good nudge. And I literally, like, that morning at brunch, like, pretty much made that decision already. So, like, before they could even get halfway through the please leave, I was like, I think it's best if we just split up and I just go somewhere else. So instead of putting that on any of those other RIAs that I really like, I think it just makes the most sense to just build my own thing.
Mm-hmm. You have a point of clarity with that. That's pretty distinct.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. similar places to begin, a lot of different places of mindset work here. So what is the problem underneath the problem that you have? And that is for Tim. I'm hearing you're feeling like really good about this, and perhaps it doesn't spark something for you. Perhaps it does. But as you see these places, what I hear for you, from you, Jeremy, is like there's some mistakes that you've made. Like, I want to do this or I want to do that, and then it's not quite in the right order according to you. And then also you've got the personal challenges. So what's underneath that for you? And Tim, you're making the decisions and then you push the ball down the road. What's the opportunity there for you, I guess? Janice, you've charted a path, you've had the discussion, and then they're like, oh, wait, let's partner. What's underneath that for you? And Jeff, this place of maybe I'm the problem, leave by July, what's underneath that for you? Any of you can come on and keep going. And Leona, I don't know if we can spotlight. Oh, okay. I can do it. All right. Let me just.
Yes, I'll go.
Yes. I got the power. All right. Cool. This helps me.
So I've thought a lot about just what's been going on. And I mean, you know, certainly there's moments where procrastination comes into play or just being tired. There's, you know, I've been spending a significant more time with my son, where there'll be days like, you know, he's out of school, it's 3 o'clock, and I'll just stop working to go do baseball practice with him. And, you know, on a personal level, it's been fantastic. I mean, for both of us, really, to the point where my wife's gotten a little jealous of the time we're spending together, right? So there's some things like that. I've made that choice to, you know, put off a couple of hours of work to spend it with my son. So I'm getting plenty of reward from that. But beyond some of that, I mean, I'm working hard pretty much every day. I don't know what's underneath. I don't think there's any kind of like fear or anything like that that's holding me back. I think it's just sheer volume of work that needs to be done, and it just takes time. And I mean, that part of it, I've just been reminding myself, like, okay, this just takes time. I might be overwhelmed right now, but I continue to move forward. I'm making progress. You know, I read the book about eating the frog, so I try to do that. You know, the idea of eating an elephant one bite at a time, like I'm doing those things. It just seems like it's just a matter of the time that it takes to get through these things. And I mean, I should also mention, I do have a VA team that I'm working with, but even just integrating them and getting to the point where they're really adding value for me on a daily basis, it's still kind of, you know, it's ramping up, it's in that process. So I know it'll get there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know that there's anything underneath it. That's the part I can't come up with anything.
What came up for me is there's this place of like, it's almost like there's a buffet or a platter of options for you. And each of us can relate to a buffet or platter differently. And there's a lot of choice there. There's maybe a lot of joy in the choosing of what goes next. It's creating the experience that you want with food. What I'm hearing from you is like, there's all these things. And I know I want that one eventually. And so I dug in here, but actually I probably should have started there first. What do you hear in that as I reflect that back to you?
I mean, you know, certainly I can't say I regret the order I've gone in, but you know, you learn as you go. So I don't know. Nothing's really coming to mind. I've certainly tried to prioritize as I go. And if I need to shift my priority, I've been doing that. You know, for example, I know I need to relearn a financial planning program, but I've also been doing this work to get my CRM set up in a proper fashion with workflows and all that kind of stuff. And I was kind of debating which way I need to focus on that. And I decided, well, I need the operational stuff first. I can learn the financial planning program next. So it's like, okay, now I'm zeroed in on that, working on that to get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe I just picked up on something that wasn't there. Do you feel like it's the buffet that's there or the family components that is more of a drag for you?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, if I think of that buffet concept as there's work and then there's family and then, you know, me time, that can be challenging, right? Because like, if I have to take my mother to the doctor, I got to take her to the doctor. Like, that's just, I don't really have a choice there. It's just something that needs to be done. You know, spending time with my son, certainly I have a choice, but, you know, I recognize there's limited time with him, you know, both in the short term, but the long term as he grows up. So there's times I'm just making the choice to do that instead of something else. But it does certainly feel overwhelming when I'm being pulled in multiple directions.
Mm-hmm. I almost get a sense of this like stop go feeling for you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And even like, I mean, like I have my home office, I lock the door, I've got a sign on it that says, don't bother me. Well, it says do not disturb, but you know, it's like not respected by anyone, including the dog. The dog will come scratching at the door while like my mother, my wife, and my son are all hanging out on the couch on their screens doing nothing of importance. And I'm trying to work and the dog is scratching at my door. You know, so I've avoided going to my outside office because my mother has had these health issues. So I've tried to stay close by just in case. But some of those issues are a little bit past. So I might try to do that again so that I'm literally not interrupted and I can get that, you know, that focus work done.
Mm-hmm. What's the conversation you're not having?
I don't know. I mean, I remind my family that I need to work and I shouldn't be interrupted, but they don't respect that, unfortunately.
So what do you want to do about it?
Well, I would definitely like to go to my office at least twice a week, which is something I have on my success shifter here that I have not been doing. Because I'm basically worried about my mother. So I try to stay somewhat close by.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly if I went to the office, which is like 10 minutes away, if she had a problem, then I can get home pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. What do you need from your family to allow you to have that mental space to go 10 minutes away?
Well, I need to know that, you know, I'm supported and that they can handle things if something comes up. That's been kind of I don't know if it's a limiting belief on my part that that's not possible, but. Not sure. Yeah. I certainly feel like when I'm not here, things that need to get done don't get done or don't get done properly. And you know, some of those things are not a big deal, but some of them are.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, the dog, if she is not taken out on a certain schedule, she will have accidents on the floor. And I guess I just don't want that to happen. I mean, if it happens, I guess I can just let it be and somebody else can clean it up kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I don't know.
So I'd love for you to sit for a moment and just hold this question of like, what if I held them as capable?
What if I held them as capable?
Capable, yep. Tim, what are you hearing this for yourself?
Yeah, so there's some parts that I could certainly relate to. I was just telling my wife yesterday, I said, you know, I kind of miss working from home, but I don't dare come back because of the productivity yield that I get is just way too high. And I don't want to give that up. So I was thinking about that, but then I don't have some of the concerns, health concerns that Jeremy has at home, you know. So, you know, just thinking about the parts that I could relate to.
May I ask you a question?
Sure.
So you're in momentum mode right now. And you haven't always been there. What shifted you into momentum for yourself?
So, well, regular coaching sessions with you, Liz.
That's what I was going for. Yes. All right. No,
no, so, like, but I'm trying. Yeah. So I'm trying to think. I mean, there were some difficult, I mean, at the time they were difficult decisions, right? That I had to make. Getting this office was certainly one of them. And then trusting the process, right? So, you know, I too, probably, goodness, I don't know how many months ago, was it like 8 months ago, something like that, where I also had this, all these options right on the table. And I think, you know, I gave myself permission to just kind of, well, first prioritize them and then just take small bites, but just consistently take those bites. And then the next thing you know, it's, goodness, we're almost halfway through the year and a lot of big decisions have been made. And then, you know, starting on some of the other ones that are remaining. And I think from just an overall with business and family, one of the first things that you and I worked on, Liz, was trusting. So what if trust? So that last question that you asked Jeremy is, hey, what if you held them as capable? There were things that I had to trust with clients that, hey, these are the way these clients are and they may probably will not change. And I can just trust that and I can expect that outcome from them. Same thing with some of the family things and then with business as well. So I don't know if I answered your question, Liz, but.
Yeah. I'm curious, Janice, as you heard Tim's response, where is trust missing for you?
Because I've worked for almost 11 years with this particular man, and I've encouraged increase your fees, put things in place for a model portfolio, make things easier. I've been discussing this for quite some time, and I've attempted to buy two different practices over the last few years. And because of either his personal issues in his life, he was not there for me. And he couldn't be there for me. It's not that he didn't have the ability or desire. It's just he had other items that in his life he needed to address. And so I find that I'm tired of the prospect of remaining.
I'm sensing some irritation.
Well, the irritation probably would come because I do feel overwhelmed, you know, just kind of managing things. For the last 8 years, my husband has done a fabulous job in increasing his resume, and he's taken on a lot of work in that has brought him in other cities. So we've lived apart for 8 years. And fortunately now he's back home. We feel that we've gotten his career to a point where he's now back at our farm. But it's been tough to kind of manage things on your own. So I feel like I'm getting, moving it in the right direction. My husband's home. He's helping me on our farm. I can start to ride my horses again. I'm excited about launching this entity, and I want a fresh start. But I care deeply for the person I work with, and I want him to be happy as well. And so I feel a lot, I guess.
Thanks for sharing all of that. I'm gathering that there has been a lot of your commitment, effort, and organization and to help this person be happy. Fair to say?
Well, he's younger than I am. He's like a little brother. He went through alcohol treatment and he lost his marriage. And it just feel for him.
Mm-hmm. So I'll have you hold that question as well, the same one that Jeremy is asking, which is, what if you held him as capable and all of the outcomes they're in, whatever direction they go? Then what is the gift to him in that? Same question for you with your family, Jeremy. What is the gift to them in that? So keep holding that. Jeff, what are you getting from this conversation for yourself?
I think, I have questions, but they're usually like technical questions. They're not like the feeling questions so much. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still just trying to process. I mean, like, I'm obviously here with like a group of people that are all courageous and they're all in various stages of like taking the same plunge that I'm about to take. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels good just like always to be in such good company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One piece of just interesting contrast that I was hearing as Janice was sharing was this way of like, there are some of us that are much more willing to hold conflict or dissonance in a relationship internally and will manage and care for it over time. And there's some of us that when there is conflict, it's like externally just handled and moved forward. And so just the striking contrast between you, Jeff, and you, Janice, are like two sides of that same coin of conflict happens all the time. And what I heard from you, Jeff, is like, oh, this happened. There's starting to be some conflict that was starting. And then bam, I decided to make this decision and we're going to move forward. And July, you're going to start moving.
So I mean, it's going to be 99% done by the day I leave. Like it'll be done by then,
yeah.
As long as whoever sets it up doesn't take their time.
Mm-hmm. So what is the gift? I have it that you handle, like you are comfortable in conflict. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's just been kind of my experience with you. I don't
thrive might be a better word.
Thrive. You thrive in conflict.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so what is the gift of conflict for you?
I think a lot, like half of me tends to like drag my feet, and so that conflict pushes me to like I'm a lot like the dog we just got, right? He's this little Shiba, and he will sleep all day long if left alone. But the moment he sees a giant dog like across the street or the park, like that's his like conflict moment, and it allows him to just like charge straight at it, right? And like I feel a lot like that. Like if I'm not pushed to those, I don't know, let's just call it decision points or whatever, right? Like once I have them, I feel good and I push through it. It's like the same way I don't like to go to parties, and then as soon as I get to a party, like I have an awesome time, right? It's like I have to be pushed to get to that point of conflict, and then it's fine.
So there's a way of clarity that comes with conflict for you.
Absolutely.
What is it that you're peeling away that allows you to know what you need?
I'm trying to think of the word. I guess like the excuses, right?
Whose excuses?
Like mine. Like I like there's no like that lets me stop the kind of thinking about the excuses and like a lot of people here probably play the sport, right? Like I wrestled. So like the whole evening, like I was just sick to my stomach. And the moment you're out there, everything's done and fine. I still can't walk in to like watch a friend's kid or like when my little brother's wrestling. I still can't walk into the gym without like feeling it again. Like it's that time when you actually get to do it that I feel great. It's everything leading up to it that's always awful.
So, for each of you, as we've had this conversation, what is your next step for your mindset and maybe a tactical action too?
So for me personally, like I've had an exit plan set up for a long time just because my niche is a little bit out there and like what I do is a little bit out there, I guess at least for LPL. So I think for me it's just going back and making sure that the plan I had set up is still the best plan, right? This the correct vendors, the right affiliation. I think honestly, other than that, and then going through the motions for having somebody help set everything up, the ADV and the RIA. Like I mean, I think that's honestly pretty much it. Like everything else is transportable. Like I'll essentially switch my mail to Gmail from Outlook, which is what LPL uses. I basically copy and paste it into my website. My website changes where that mail goes, and like I'm essentially done. Then I have to like open a few accounts. So I don't know. Like it's the not having the net or the big brother or the whatever, I think that's kind of the most daunting, but we'll get through it.
What do you need to remember for yourself to push past those points of like not going to have a big brother?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think those of you guys that have been around Liz for sure, like, I mean, you guys know that I like try to push the envelope a little bit. And so I think I put myself in a place where like either I'm wrong or like a whole lot of other people are wrong. And like usually I have fairly high confidence that I'm not the one that's wrong. But you never know. And like I live with that like knowledge all the time. Like there's a great chance that I could be wrong if this many other people think I am. So, I mean, that's always the fear in the background, right?
Jeremy, what about you?
I think I just need to make that commitment to get out of the house, go to my outside office, remind and reestablish the boundaries with my family and just ask for that support and hope that, they can do all the things that need to be done. And if something does go wrong, I'm only 10 minutes away.
And the dog poops on the floor, and then what?
Somebody else clean it up.
Yep. Yeah, you don't have
That's
to
better.
engage. There's the whole, oh, this happened. On your watch. Who will clean this up? Go into my office or whatever.
Yeah.
Tim, what about you?
So the one question you had asked that I've been mulling over is what's the opportunity for me now that things are moving? I don't have a great answer. You know, initially I'm thinking, hey, just manage this process and enjoy it. I think I'm going to enjoy these next two bits. Every day I get more and more excited just because we live in the future. Like as planners, we're always living in the future because we're always planning for something in the future, and then it gets here. So for me, after these two projects are done, it'll be time to, or nearly time to engage the consultant to start filing all the paperwork. And these days that final call starts to role play in my mind and I cannot be more excited. So
awesome.
Maybe the opportunity is to enjoy it.
Can you guys feel that, like, energetically? So when we talk about some of the mindset and vision work and getting into like the radio dial, moving your frequency to the point where of the things that you want, we are planners. So we have two paths that we can always go down, which one is like seeing and feeling and knowing viscerally what it's going to be like when we get there. And it's looking good. There's also the other part of like knowing all the things that can go wrong or might go wrong and staying in that radio dial frequency. And you get to choose at any point in time which one you tune into. And so perhaps part of your morning routine is just establishing that moment of like looking at that vision board, looking at that draw your future for those who were here for that last year. Any of those that help you get into that film. Janice, what about you? What's your next step?
I think it's just really helped me to express myself because I don't think I've had that opportunity. You know, I didn't realize certain things affected me. And so being able to do that and honor who I am. You know, we've got so many wonderful things that are ahead of us. That concentrating on that and maybe and being much more in gratitude, I think, you know, Tim worded it so well in that, you know, we all are blessed, right? So I think it's so easy to get on the negative or so easy to get on, you know, maybe a conflict or how do you handle it or questioning whether you can handle it. Are we even capable? You know, I mean, your question on how do you hold others in your life capable really comes down also to, you know, are we capable of implementing what we want? Mm-hmm. And I think believing that we can and we're here, we're supportive. And that's what I want to do, you know, honoring who I am.
Absolutely. Get back on that horse, metaphorically and literally.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for sharing today. Good place for all of you to stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Thank you so much. Move the spotlight here. All right. And okay, looking back through here, making some big transitions. Taylor, I'm going to invite you on next. Making a big transition at a crossroads with fees, service model, etc. Okay. Oh, Debbie Hutner. Hopefully you got the call-in number, Debbie. Leona, if you can, send Debbie the call-in number. I'm sorry, I missed that.
I sent that to her, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Okay, so Taylor, Nissy, if you can come on and just talk a little bit about what you're looking at. And if there's someone that resonates with this similar type of topic, I see a couple of other twos here that can be addressed, and perhaps we'll do that in group form, or we'll just, I'll just talk to Taylor. Taylor.
Taylor may have left.
Oh, okay. Here. Yeah, okay. Not here. All right. Then we've got Kevin navigating the setback brought on by family illness and death while walking towards starting a podcast. Sorry to hear about the family passing, Kevin. Or a family illness and death. Okay. You're on mute.
There we go. Yeah, thank you. It's mm-hmm. always tough losing someone.
Mm-hmm.
It was a especially tough month with my wife, you know, having to be down there with her mom the whole month and helping provide hospice and, you know, mm-hmm. just a very emotional and just been challenging time.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else facing severe family illness with or friends or family's illness or death recently? Because I have two. And I'm curious, what has it in the contrast? Like anytime we experience death of someone else, it creates kind of a sinking feeling and like a contrast is the best word I can think of. Like an opposition of what we want. We avoid death. I'm curious if it has brought up any new insight for you in what you desire with your business.
Yeah, it's just, boy, I don't know how to verbalize it right now. Just for the business and life, it's just, you know, it's just a reminder that this is why we're doing it. You know, it's, yeah, we're all in this because we can make a good living, but ultimately those of us who are going to this level, you know, trying to go through, you know, coaching and really improve, it's because we want to be the best out there, you know, whatever the best is, but, you know, to be the best that we can be, it's not the Bud Fox, you know, Wall Street persona that so many people think this business is about. You know, it's so far from that. And what we can do can be so incredibly impactful for people. It's a very, when done right, it's a very noble, very important profession that is, I think, highly underappreciated and highly understood out in the general community. And you know, it's just, I guess just saying, it's just, you know, that reinforcement to just keep going and try to make it better and better. Not better and better is different for everybody, but
yeah. Is there anything around the events of this last month that you want to get coached around, or just recognizing, like, because it's in the space, grief always.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just, you know, to work through.
You know, just has made me just focus on more the journey I went through with my parents and family, which was horrible because very dysfunctional. And won't go to all the details, but I guess the final detail will give you an all idea how bad it was that when it came time to finally, you know, spread my parents' ashes, my siblings played games, refusing to schedule, and finally I had to physically split my parents' ashes into separate bags and mail it to my brother because they refused to get together with me to spread the ashes. So, so just a lot of reflection on that. And,
mm-hmm.
And there again, a lot of it is due to, you know, how can I say it? You know, when we do things right with clients who do things right, a lot of that can be avoided. In this case, a lot of it was driven by my father, who was kind of a narcissist and played games with, you know, the control of the estate. And there's no getting over that when you have someone in that position. Mm-hmm. You know, and seeing in other families, we can help so much with this process mm-hmm. if we help to lay that proper foundation.
Go ahead.
I was just to say, you know, fortunately, my mother-in-law had virtually nothing, so that wasn't in play, and it was kind of comforting seeing how well the siblings, the three sisters, got along through the hospice without any of that, you know, coming into play. And so there again, through a very grief-stricken time, if that pathway has been laid out, it can just make that time so much easier and able to focus on, you know, the love and the care rather than all the numbers and the legal paperwork, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, what strikes me is, you know, when grief hits, we can't plan grief. It just comes in waves. And sometimes we stuff it down and keep going. And sometimes we just process through it. What I'm hearing is that this grief that's sparked this past month is triggering other grief too. And I'm curious, or maybe a suggestion, a recommendation, a place for you to continue to work through that is if you set this as something that you're journaling through, maybe set an alarm for 30 minutes and just make sure, just write all the things that are coming up for you as to move through them. If you guys recall any emotion that we have, it really only takes 90 seconds to process. And then we move through it. With grief, there's just so much that gets caught in it because you're working through associations. You're working through expectations for the future or the past that never got met, all sorts of things, family dynamics. And so just giving yourself that graciousness to set time and work through it. Maybe you're a verbal processor, so you could just talk your way all the way through it. But if you don't address grief, it will continue to surface in different ways. And so being really intentional as this time where you're building your practice to sort through some of it so it doesn't, again, get sparked again. Hopefully that's helpful. The other thing that came up for me, I had a good friend of mine was diagnosed, had a brain tumor, really suddenly came on. And it reminded me the points of clarity that we have when life strikes. And I had a conversation with him. And the way that he went through it is actually, if you're familiar with George Kinder's questions, the three questions, and I'm not going to get them right, but the first one's like, you find out you have 10 years to live, you'll be completely fine. You just don't know when you'll pass away in the next 5 to 10 years. And then you go like a shorter time period, like maybe a couple months. What would you do from now until then if you knew you're going to pass away? And then the third one is you find out that you're going to pass away this evening. What regrets, what places of gratitude? So my friend had this experience essentially because of the unknown of the diagnosis, not knowing if he's going to wake up from surgery and the points of clarity there. Not knowing if it's going to be a 2-month endeavor or longer. And what he said was that this diagnosis that he received has brought the most clarity he has ever had with his life. And so you think about your big why, like just to tie it back to this limitless program, everything starts with your big why. And it's really, really, if you want a why that really carries you forward, it takes intention to get there. And so just a reminder that in these moments when we're confronted with death or sickness of a family member, that there's also that point of reflection for ourselves to consider like, what is it what is it that I want to create with this one wild and precious life? All right. Thanks for sharing, Kevin.
You bet.
All right. Roshni, increased fees for clients, to clients, and waiting for their response. Worried because they're two of your biggest and oldest clients. If they leave, it'll be a big hit on my revenue. Do you want to get coached around this today? She may not be here. Okay. Where shall we go from here, friends?
I wouldn't mind sharing my experience with getting cease and desist letters and RIA firms that are competitive.
Okay.
Or at least have hired attorneys to be. So I kind of wanted to update you guys. I know some of you saw my post in Tribe a while back about getting notice from Squarespace that a law firm had to ask them to shut my website down for a trademark infringement claim. So, you know, kind of jumped into working with a intellectual property attorney who happened to be an old friend and offered to work pro bono for me, although I told her I'm happy to pay you because this is worth it. But so basically there are two other firms with a similar name across the country, and one of them had applied for registering their their firm name as a, you know, trademarking their name. And they don't have that registration yet, but essentially because they're ahead in that process compared to me, I don't really have a strong case for competing with them for that name. So, I'm only a few months into my firm, so it doesn't seem practical to try to fight that. And so going through choosing another name, I'm going to go with something with my last name, which luckily is uncommon enough and easy to spell, easy to say. There aren't other firms with that name. Anyway, it was just, I remember thinking at the start of this, gosh, I always thought of, you know, RIAs and financial planners, like we're such a collegial bunch. We work together so well. And we are all still businesses and build brands and try to protect them. So, you know, I was a little ornery about, having another firm, especially another firm that focuses on women coming after a woman-owned firm. But, business is business. So here I am and I'm doing it. And I had mentioned previously, Natalie gave me a good little mindset shift of this is something a business owner gets to take care of. So, you know, I at first felt like, gosh, this is taking me away from my clients. But now I'm seeing it as an opportunity to grow as a business owner. And so just kind of working my way through that, the lawyers have been speaking to one another, and I have 6 months to basically make a change. And so I'm working through, you know, what the DBA is going to be, and just going through all that. but also trying to do all of the other work and growth and improvement that I'm going to do with Limitless. And at the moment, I'm planning on going home. When I say home, like my hometown in Louisiana. I live in Maryland, but I haven't been back there. And Kevin's comments kind of resonated because my mom died in 2018. And I haven't been back home since 2019. So that's going to be hard. It's going to be good, but it's going to be hard. But trying to make sure I, you know, take care of as many of my ducks in a row as I can before leaving. And then it's my first time really taking more than a day off for personal stuff since starting my firm. So kind of holding my breath, like, okay, this will be okay. So, yeah, so I kind of wanted to share with the group, like, hey, yeah, we're a collegial group and there is competition. Mm-hmm. So let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah. If it's supportive, just from hearing what Kevin shared, Bridget shared, and Janice shared, and, you know, touching on sadness and some of those places, also like relationships that don't pan out the way that we want them to, or there was something missing within the relationship, or we feel stuck. Maybe it's, I just uncovered with a client last week, a way that she was feeling stunted in this one business decision, and she was still hearing the voice of someone who cast off the statement, like, you probably couldn't be a business owner anyway. You know, like, people say things and then it sticks with us for decades. So any place where you're feeling there is a relational thing that's in the way, whether it's a parent or that other planner or staff member or someone that you used to work with 10 years ago, there's a process you can go through as to clear the energy from it, as to keep moving forward. And we call it the three-letter series. So you just have to jot this down for yourself. The first letter is one from a complete place of frustration, anger, angst, like, how dare you? The places where we feel like we have overextended and felt, or just been like undersupported. The second letter is one of ownership, of like, oh, I see the ways I came into this situation with this perspective, or I didn't hear that thing that I was really wanting to. I made that about you, but it's really about me. All those things, ownership. And then the third letter is one of gratitude. So I love what Janice touched on there, of just like getting to that point of gratitude again. Gratitude is the highest point of human connection, vibrancy that we can have in this life. So again, letter one of just getting out all of the feelings, the emotions, the things tied to that person and how they impacted us. Number two, taking full ownership of the relationship. Number three, gratitude. All right. Oh, you never send those letters. Never, 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 never. In case it's someone that's still living, don't send it. It's just for you to clear the energy for yourself. Ian, are you on? Oh, Roshni. I don't think you're on when I said it earlier, but you're welcome to get coached around your thing that you put on if you'd like.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, so I raised fees on two of my clients. One of them, you know, it was a bit, I kind of regret having a conversation when I did, but anyway, so this is a client. He was one of my first clients, and he keeps, you know, the good thing about this client is that, you know, he invests a lot of money with me, over $1 million, and you know, he doesn't need that much meeting and that much support either. So those are good things. And, you know, he's fine. He's a fine person. The bad thing is that he just has, every time I talk to him, he just asks me 100 questions about things that he's not even going to do anything on, but just creates this extra work for me that I know has no consequence at all in his life. It's just this curiosity about, you know, this and that, like, you know, but he doesn't really do anything with it. And it's mm-hmm. the same thing every time, you know, it's like he'll ask me the same thing and I have to research and give it to him, and then nothing really comes out of it. And he has another like $3 million or $2 million at Morgan Stanley that he's told me that he's going to bring to me, but he never does because he likes having that two advisor thing. And he doesn't work anymore. He's retired. He sold his company. So I feel like that's also kind of, you know, like, give, you know, fills up his day. So he likes that as well. And anyway, so I was having this phone call with him a couple of months ago after trying to reach him for a meeting, you know, many times. He never responded to my email, but he just asked me to call him for something. And then I was speaking with him, and then, you know, I asked him again about those assets he has told me that he would bring from Morgan Stanley. And again, the same thing, you know, I'm still doing this and this. And anyway, so I had been thinking about raising fees. So I just, you know, told him at that time, so actually your fees are going to go up. And I regret doing that because I'm like, I should have been more prepared. But at the moment I was like, this is the best time to do this because it's like, I don't know when he's going to, again, when we're going to have the proper meeting where I have the proper conversation. So I told him that, and his reaction was like, oh my God, like how come you're increasing fees on me? I was one of your first clients. I invest so much money with you. And, you know, I told him my costs are going up, and, you know, as you know, inflation is real. It's, you know, it's, you can see it everywhere. And my costs have gone up 4 times since I started, which is completely true. And, you know, I told him that, and he was like, okay, let me think about it. And I also extended the deadline for him. So before I told him that the fee was going to go up in May, and then he said, oh, that's too soon. I mean, this is, you know, I called you and you're telling me this, you know, but I was like, I tried to reach out to you so many times before, and, you know, and you didn't even take the meeting at that time. So I extended the deadline to June for him. So, which is going to be next 10 days. That's the deadline. And I sent him the DocuSign and everything. And he hasn't signed it yet. I texted him to see if he had any questions. He hasn't responded yet. And so I'm a bit worried about that because, you know, like if he leaves, that's going to be a big revenue hit for me. And then another client as well, who actually referred this client, I increased the fee on him as well. I sent him by email because, again, you know, he wasn't meeting with me because he's super busy. So he also hasn't responded. And anyway, so I'm feeling like if they both leave, they talk to each other and they both decide to leave, like that's going to be a pretty big revenue hit. And I'm like going back and thinking, oh, I don't even meet these clients that often anymore, like I used to. You know, the heavy lift at the beginning is done. So why am I doing this now? And just if this ends up decreasing my revenue instead of increasing it, like that would be counterproductive. So anyway, that's what I'm thinking. I'm laughing because I'm like, not because I'm enjoying this, but it's like, I'm almost like, you know, laughing at the whole like thing, the whole like counterproductiveness of some of the things that we do. Sometimes we do things thinking it's going to be amazing, and then it backfires completely. And it's like, oh my God, the irony.
Has it backfired?
Not yet, but fingers crossed. Yeah.
Okay. What would you like to get out of this conversation? I see a couple of different areas we can look. I see the waiting for the signature, getting back above the line there. The engagement with the client, that place of asking you questions and then feeling like you're going after all of the information just for them not to ask, to follow through. And then just the initial reaction of like, how dare you raise my fee? Which do you think would give you the bigger shift in your year? Or maybe an immediate shift. You get to choose.
What was the second one? What was the second one?
Asking all those questions and then you go after and find all the information just for him not to go through with the homework. And your side of the street on that.
Yeah. So, sorry, I didn't get your what you're asking me to answer. I didn't get that.
Which path do you want to go down?
Oh, I see. Well, so yeah, I think the second one, asking those questions, that's one. And the other is just, yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you notice something in him, in the way that he comes to those meetings. What shifts in you?
You mean, what do I feel when he does that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just feel like irritation, to be honest. I'm just like, oh my God, not this again. Like just the same old, you know, asking about things I've already answered. And then I'm going to have to research the whole thing all over again to see what the status is. And that's like, you know, 2 hours of my day. So it just feels like, oh my God. And also, you know, this client, and again, he's a nice person, but what he says and what he does are sometimes two completely different things. You know, sometimes he'll say, oh, I don't care about money and whatever, but then he cares so much about money. He bargains so much. And I'm like, you care a lot about money, you know? So it's like, but of course I'm, you know, I can't say that to him on this, you know, to his face, but I'm just like the difference between one's self-perception and how they actually come across to somebody is so wide. So I think that's what shifts in me. It's like, first of all, what he says and what he does are two different things. And the other is just sometimes just wasting my time like that. They're just like random questions that he just throws at me. And I'm like, what is the point of this? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hear the assumption in there that I'm hearing is that you jump. He says jump and you say yep and you jump. So what part of you is not coming to the table in that interaction where you have real clarity about how he is being?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, I think I need to find a way to manage him without getting annoyed. I think I like entertain him, like keep giving in until like I'm just like really annoyed. And I think that's what happened, you know, when I went with the fee increase, when I told him about the fee increase, I was just at the end of my tolerance level with him. And I just like said, okay, now your fees are increasing, enough with this nonsense, basically. So yeah, no, that's a good point. I need to find a better way to deal with it rather than being frustrated.
Well, I'm curious because I imagine there's another relationship in your life where someone has this pattern of behavior and you'll just call it out, or maybe you won't call it out and be like, and how is this important to you?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason in this relationship, that's not how it goes.
Yeah. 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 No, I don't do that in any of the client relationships. I usually, you know, I usually try to do what the client says rather than try to. I usually don't say no most of the times. I try to say yes. And it's deliberate. It's deliberate because I don't want to, because there are a lot of people who are just like difficult, you know, and I try to be more easy, you know, especially when it comes to clients, because I think that's one of the things they want is somebody who's more easy to work with. Yeah.
Mm. What is his unmet need in asking all of those questions?
I think he's just somebody who loves to win, you know, who loves to get a good deal. That's just his like inner desire, even though he has so much money, he doesn't need, it's just this like, because he used to be in business and he's just not satisfied with just, you know, yeah, he just loves to get a good deal, loves to get a bargain, is always like looking for ways to make money, even though he doesn't really need money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is your unmet need in the relationship?
Is that he needs to pay more for the service that I'm giving him, and you know, he's and how much, and that he has the ability to pay a lot more, and he's paying me much less than what my other clients who have even less money than him are paying me, because he happened to be the first clients, and you know, I was more receptive to different things at the beginning.
So he pays you more, and then the client engagement is good to go. Irritation doesn't show back up.
Mm. Yeah. It'll be more easy to tolerate. Mm. Yeah. No, but yeah, it is, that's true. Yeah, if yeah. It'll be a little easier to tolerate, but it won't completely go away. It will be more tolerable.
What do you have to set down as to enter that relationship like energetically neutral?
Do I have to set down? I think a scheduled meeting rather than these phone conversations out of the blue, just whenever he feels like it, you know, instead of, I have a schedule for clients who, you know, I have a schedule for clients and they set up meetings during that time, during the surge time. So he never responds when I try to schedule a meeting with him. He'll just ignore my meeting, but then he'll just text me out of the blue, like, oh, let's have a moment to talk. Then I'll say, okay, how about tomorrow at this time? And then we'll have a long conversation. And that's when he asked me all these questions. So it'd be so great if we have these scheduled meetings rather than these like random phone conversations.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good place.
So if he schedules, then irritation is gone.
Yeah, it will be more, you know, because of course clients will always ask lots of random questions. That's just part of the thing, is like that's just you know, they'll ask like, oh, I'm thinking of this, what do you think about this? That's always there. And yeah, that's always there. But if he was, yeah, I think so. I think if it was more structured, it would be better, because I would expect some of those questions and I would be better able to tell him like, why is this important? Or this is a goal we are trying to solve, and those things are not that important for this goal. Yeah.
So just as a point of reflection, when I asked you, the irritation would be gone, you said it would be less again. So less. My invitation for you is to look and see what's still there. Like, and with certain, what I'm hearing is that in some of your client relationships, they ask questions and you sound like you're in partnership with them. And it sounds like when he asks questions, you don't feel in partnership with him. Maybe you feel like you have to just do everything that he says. And so looking at that directly, like, what is this? What is the irritation? What is it telling me?
Mm.
What is the message? What were the words that pop up in my brain? Is that really true? Get factual about it and see what's there for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I think the irritation with him is because it's just, he's just shopping around all the time. You know, it's Morgan's, he asks the same question to Morgan Stanley, comes back, and, you know, with other clients who I have, who I'm the only advisor for them, it is a partnership. I know that they trust me completely. It's a, you know, we're working together. It's, even if they ask me lots of random questions, it's still from a place of, you know, we're trying to do this together kind of a thing. Whereas with him, it's this, you know, ask Morgan Stanley for the same thing, see where he can find the best deal, or just this kind of, and from his perspective, maybe it's not a bad thing either. Everybody tries to get a good deal, but it's just, I don't know what it is. It just feels like there is some level of mistrust almost. You know, he's just like shopping around, even though he's been a client for a few years now. He's always like shopping around, trying to get the best deal, trying to get the best outcome. And it's like, it's just, yeah, it's just, it's something about the whole thing. And, you know, as you're asking me this, now I'm realizing this, it is that level of mistrust. Like, he's always thinking like, how can I get the best deal? And it's like, working together for so long, like, what is this constant, you know, shopping?
And is it his mistrust, or is that your interpretation and your mistrust?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
You want to take that on to look at this week?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, to stop here. Awesome. Thanks, Rishni.
Thank you.
I don't know if Ian is still here. Anybody else feel within you that you would like a shift in some way with your energy, with your ability to attack your work with momentum? You're welcome to come off mute.
Liz, I'll give you some. Actually, I just want to comment on Roshani's scenario is kind of interesting. I've been doing this a long time, and some things that you kind of take for granted. But one thing that you might do, Roshani, is just quantify the cost of the problem, right? And I don't necessarily mean from him like we do for clients, but just say, okay, if this guy goes back to Morgan Stanley, he's a planning client, he's an AUM client, whatever that might be for you, like, what does it mean? And you'll be shocked. You're like, wait a minute, it's X amount per year. That's one new client. That's two new clients. So put your stake in the ground. I looked at your website, as I do with most people I chat with, and like, you worked at Goldman and BlackRock. You're like a hitter. You're a star, you know. Put your flag in the ground and just say, look, you got to really believe what it is that you're doing, and they'll sense that. You push back. Maybe this isn't right for you, Mr. Jones, or I don't know. I just think that you are the heart surgeon. You are the professional here. You can land the plane. You can do all the things that they can't do. If they can, they'll be doing it. And as I mentioned in the chat to you, like, the second he starts with that BS, just say, well, what's your Morgan guy saying? Well, why don't you just do that? Mm-hmm. Like, just get snarky. I can get curmudgeon-y, you know, but you got the chops. Go at it with a little gusto and you'll be fine. There's a lot of guys that are far better clients that you can clone, and you're on to the next one. But I applaud you for challenging it and thinking like, okay, how can we, because it's affecting you. So solve it or move on. Yeah. Best.
Thanks, Sam. That was great. Reminder back to confidence.
Yes.
This is Eric. I just wanted to chime in. Similar view, Roshani, I heard you say early on that losing one of these clients would be counterproductive, that it would be, you know, a bad thing. I'm not sure it would be, based on the way you describe your interaction with them. I don't know your ideal client profile, but I'm not sure it fits it. And so it may actually be a step forward if your relationship with them changes, if you put down these boundaries and say, hey, you know, but it may be a positive for you in the firm if you're like, hey, we're going to work with clients this way. And if it's not fitting for you, maybe we're not a good fit. It may actually be a step forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Michelle, did you have something to say? You popped right on, looking ready to talk.
Well, I did. I have a question or comment, but it sounds silly after listening to some of these guys' questions or issues. So
own it.
Well, all right. So here's my question. So with regard to marketing and emails, I have gotten a bunch of emails off of LinkedIn from my connections, and I want to add them to like a drip email campaign, like a nurture campaign or something. but I am very afraid of being that bad email scammer or spam person and my email going into junk. Like that is like, that scares me. I don't want to be that bad person who's sending junk email.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you feel about people in your inbox? They're bad people.
I don't know. Some of them, no, I don't think anything of them. If it doesn't pertain or I'm not interested, I'll just delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Or
no energy around it, like not frustration. How dare you? There's none of that there.
No, but I assume they would have that with me.
So where does that come from?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no energy around it when I receive those. But the idea that I could be, you know, thought of as a spam sender, whatever,
mm-hmm. just
freaks me the heck out.
Do you want to be sending email?
Yes, because I think I have something valuable to say, and I think it would help people.
Okay.
That's my intention, at least.
What are the facts in this scenario?
Then I'm scared to death that like someone might not like what I send and think, oh my God, this pain in the ass. How in the hell, what is this? Why did I get this email with helpful, awesome information?
Okay. So the fact is that you're scared and then you've attached a crap ton of judgment on top of that and all the things that come after that. So, okay. Yes. Fact one is you're scared.
Yes.
What about the emails that you'll send? What's the fact there?
Say that one more time.
The emails that you'll send, what's a fact about that?
A fact is hopefully they'll be helpful and have good information in there.
Okay. So you're scared. You're sending emails with good information.
Yes.
What's your highest commitment?
To try and help people.
Okay. Awesome. But
I realize this seems silly after listening what other people.
Let's just pause here. So you said my highest commitment is to help people. And then you said, but it was like, just if you would listen back to it, it was almost
instantaneous.
Instantaneous. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. So I've built this whole scenario in my head where I send this awesome email and then, you know, the people are standing around the water cooler going, oh my God, I got this email from Michelle Glass. What a pain in the ass. Now I'm going to go talk to, I don't know, HR or whomever, and she's going to get a cease and desist mm-hmm. letter like the one lady got. And
you have the most beautiful imagination. It is just pointed in all of the incorrect directions.
I know. Liz, I've got the whole scenario down in my head.
So what about the scenario about your success, your happiness? Where's your imagination with that?
I didn't go there.
How come? The choice you have.
It is a choice, but I was focusing on the negative. So it's keeping me from sending out or doing my marketing thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's just because a habit.
Again, huh?
That's just a habit. Go to the negative, all the things that will go wrong, possibly all the way down to HR, cease and desist. Like,
I know. Next, I'm going to be on the line with my cease and desist letter because I sent an email trying to be helpful. And all these people, all they do is think and talk about me at the water cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I understand, but it's like preventing me from writing a newsletter. I have the emails written there, but I'm not taking any action. And yeah. So maybe just calm down, Liz.
I'm curious whose voice still has the hook for you.
I don't know, but it's someone saying, what the heck is she doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know whose that is. I mean, it's what's the word? Just someone telling me no, or turning me down, or not thinking that I'm helpful when I'm putting my heart and soul into this. And maybe that's it, because I truly put who I am and what I believe, and I truly want to help these people. If I didn't care about these people and the business that I do, and I didn't take pride in it, then I wouldn't care what their email said, you know, what their mm-hmm. thoughts were.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like putting a little piece of myself out there, and God mm-hmm. forbid they say no.
Two thoughts, just as we're wrapping up real quick, two ways that you can approach this. And everybody else listening, find the thing for you. What the heck is she doing? That sounds like that is a voice that pops up pretty quickly in that question. And yeah. for me, that voice said, how could you? How dare you, Liz? So I wrote that question, how could I? And then Stephanie walked me through my response back to that voice every time it comes up. How dare you, Liz? Or how could I? It's because I'm a committed and conscious leader. So what's your response back to that voice? Write that. Put it on a sticky note.
I'm a committed and caring person who just wants to help people.
Great. That is your response every time that voice, that question pops up. That's one path to go.
So what's your question? How could I? How dare I?
It doesn't matter what my question was. What I heard from you, the flavor I heard was, what the heck is she doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the question. Okay.
Well, I like that. How could I? Well, I could, because I truly care and want to help.
Let me pause you there. This is the voice in my head saying, Liz, how could you?
Right.
Your voice doesn't say that. I heard you say your voice says,
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misasserting.
Whatever my voice says, but the answer is, I am someone who just wants to try and help. And yeah. that's my intention.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
I forget the other thing I was going to share. So there's your takeaway.
That's cool.
Probably
that's a good one.
Each person on this call has some voice that pops up pretty regularly and asks the same question over and over. And it's a stunting question. So just notice when you are feeling stalled out, what is the question another part of you is asking you?
Okay.
And respond back.
All right. Very helpful. Thank you.
All right, y'all. Good to see you. Remember, you can always find me on Tribe. Post what's happening for you if you're feeling stuck. These calls happen once a month. And so if you want support in between, I'm here for you. All right. Have a great afternoon. Be well. Happy Memorial Day.